Really good to be back home. Had a really encouraging and great time out west. The family camp was tremendous. A lot of the benefits of family camps have very little to do with the lessons. Now, don't get me wrong, the lessons were tremendous, and I would encourage anybody to go and to listen to all the messages from family camp. They're listed on the ChristChurchOnline.com. If you go to ChristChurchOnline.com, they're already all uploaded from family camp this year. And there's some really, really good ones on there. But a lot of the positive things that happen at these family camps are the type of relationships that really get started, relationships that get renewed, relationships that get formed at these family camps are really important for the encouragement of the saints. You know, one of the things that Jeremy was bringing forward in Sunday school earlier on was the fact that, you know, we do need one another. You know, we need that encouragement. He referenced Hebrews 10 there, right? Stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Well, it's encouraging to know that there are congregations, entire congregations that we weren't even aware of, that are part of the new creation congregations. That's exciting. There are people just like ourselves sitting in this congregation here this afternoon that are having the word preached to them. We're not the only crazy congregation that meets in the afternoon, you know? There you got Great Falls. Well, they're a couple of hours behind us, but Great Falls will be meeting this afternoon too. Hey, that's Spokane, guess what? They're meeting this afternoon too. There's other people that are going through the exact same things that we're going through on a daily basis, overcoming and pushing the spiritual revolution forward. And so it's a great time. The Lima Rally, Pennsylvania Family Camp, all of these different camps and rallies really are important to be able to give us a broader perspective and to help one another make it along the way to heaven. And that's really what we're all looking to do. So it is good to be back home, though. It's good to see all of you guys, and hopefully can be an encouragement as bring forth the word this afternoon. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1, we've been looking at verse 5 for the past couple of times I've had the opportunity to preach. Really appreciate Andy filling in last week. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Okay, so goal of our instruction. We talked a little bit before about how if we're going to set a goal, we have to know what the end result looks like. Have to have an idea. What does this end result look like? What is our goal that we want to accomplish so that we can put in the proper inputs to get the proper output? We talked about that already. We talked about the importance of love from a pure heart and a clean conscience. Christian functions only with a clean conscience. I regret that we don't record the Sunday school hour. I just can't. If you missed out on Sunday school this afternoon, you missed out. I mean, that was some great and powerful points that were brought about. But again, one of the things that was referenced is clean conscience. Right? It talked about how people can bring their sin to the table or people can bring their guilt along with them. Well, God doesn't want us dragging our guilt along with us. He gives us a clean conscience to be able to serve, because what that guilty conscience does, that guilty conscience paralyzes. We're created in Christ Jesus, the scripture tells us, for good works, right? So what that guilty conscience does is it paralyzes us from being able to do what we've been created in Christ Jesus for. So we talked about those things. Now we're talking about a sincere faith. I'm going to park it here just for a little while, because a sincere faith, it's important that we set a definition to that. What is a sincere faith? What does that look like? Where would we get that definition? Well, we're only going to get the definition from the Scripture. We want to let the Bible define what faith is. And we'll deal a little bit more with the sincere aspect of it in coming weeks. But I want to look at the scriptural definition of faith. The world has tried to hijack probably one of the most important words and concepts of all of Scripture, and that's faith. The world has tried to give its own definition as to what faith is. And so it's important that we have the biblical definition of faith locked in so that we don't get deceived by the world's definition that they ascribe to faith. The world, okay, will have terms like faith alone. The world will have terms like faith means simple belief. But what we want to look at, we want to say, okay, how does the Scripture define faith? What does that look like? Let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we're going to be reading in verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. This is referenced a number of times in the New Testament. If you are taking notes or want to write this down, we'll look it up later. It's referenced in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It's referenced in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 38. The righteous will live by his faith. So there's an obvious corollary to that as well. The unrighteous shall perish by their lack of faith. Right? The righteous shall live by their faith. The unrighteous shall perish by their lack of faith. So this faith thing is pretty important. In Hebrews chapter 11, okay, it tells us that, let's go ahead and go there. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The righteous shall live by faith. The unrighteous shall perish by his lack of faith. So faith, biblical faith, is pretty important for us to define. When Lois and Eunice are looking to produce a sincere faith, okay, within Timothy, it's pretty important that they knew what they were trying to produce. For us to live by faith, we have to know what biblical faith actually looks like. Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith is extremely important. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. We have to hear the word to be able to have faith in the word. And I've got mechanical pencils falling all over the place here. Some interesting stuff in here. We got wet ones. We got a TV remote. That is a gold mine. So Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Yeah, hear the word first. John 1:1. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We know that this is talking about Jesus. But the Greek word for word there in John 1:1 is logos. Okay? Logos is where we get our English word logic from. Jesus is the logical communication of God to man. The way that we are going to understand God is through Jesus Christ. Now, we know that this is true. Jesus didn't need to come to earth to know what it was like to be man. But we needed Jesus to come to earth to be man so that we could understand that he knew. You follow there? He already knew. He created us. He knows exactly what it's like to be man, but then he proved it to us. Okay? And so Jesus is the logical communication of God to man. And as we've been going through cleansing on Wednesday nights, Jesus is the progressive revelation of God to man, right? We start with Jesus in the flesh, but that's the starting point of the revelation of God to man is Jesus in the flesh. Ultimately, it culminates in Jesus in glory as the ultimate communication of God to man. But Jesus is the logical communication of God to man. That's really important. He communicates to us in a reasoned manner. So it's one of the reasons why when we start with Bible studies, it's really important that we start with the foundation that the Bible is the Word of God. Okay? Because if Jesus communicates to us in a logical manner, okay, it is important that we also logically communicate that we can prove that this is the Word of God. Okay? Because if you don't prove and establish the absolute authority of the logical communication, it really doesn't matter how logical the communication is. Okay? Because we can make sense all the way down, but hey, I don't think it has any authority. You've just wasted a bunch of time, right? And since Jesus communicates in a logical and orderly manner, it's important that we also emulate Jesus and communicate in a logical and orderly manner. We establish the authority of the Scripture before we take people to the authoritative message. So, once again, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For us to have biblical faith, we must hear the message and communication of Jesus and act based upon that message. So Jesus communicates the message to us. And our responsibility is to act based upon that message that is communicated to us. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick here. My Fitbit died overnight, so I need to get out my phone so that I don't preach forever, because I have a tendency to run a little long. I'm sure none of you have noticed that over the past few months. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. In my notes, just for fun, guys, in my notes it says 1 Corinthians 15, if time. Okay, so, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, as if to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So, the gospel is laid out here. The communication, Jesus progressively communicates God to us, okay? First in his life, okay? Then also that he died according to the Scripture. He died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised on the third day, that he appeared. He appeared to the apostles, and then finally he appeared from glory to the apostle Paul. So the gospel is laid out. Okay? The gospel is laid out. This is the good news, okay, according to verse 1. Now, if we go to Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the good news that the good news that we have faith in. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Well, let's actually start in 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Okay. How shall they call upon whom... upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Okay? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to proclaim the word of God to them. My mind immediately goes to Acts chapter 8, right? Philip goes up to the Ethiopian eunuch. Hey, you have any idea what you're reading? Nah, not really. Okay, let me explain it to you, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. So, if you look at this, starting at the beginning of verse 14, how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? If you actually study the scriptures carefully, this call is actually immersion into Christ. Okay, you can prove that scripturally. If you look at Acts 22:16 and compare Acts 22:16 to Romans chapter 10 and verses 13 and 14, and also if you compare Acts 2:19 and Acts 2:38, this call is immersion into Jesus Christ. So how is someone going to make that call, okay, without it being... in whom they have not believed? What good's immersion going to do anyone if they haven't first believed, right? And then he takes us through a progression there. So how shall they be immersed in him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? Okay. So for us to get to the point of a saving faith, immersion into Jesus Christ, okay, we have to have these other things line up first, okay? At this point, it's important that we make a distinction between works of the law and biblical saving faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. See, when we're talking about initial faith or saving faith, it's important that we make a distinction between works, between that and between works of the law. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Works of the law are about trying to earn our salvation. Works of the law are those which a person would do to try to justify themselves before God. Alms to the poor, fasting twice a week, outward show of prayers, tithing of the dill and the mint and the cumin and the, you know, everything else. Those were the works of the law. And none of those works of the law could amount to any sort of righteousness. It couldn't justify the individual. Works of the law are useless to try to justify an individual. We maintain that a person is saved by faith. Okay? So what Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, along with the rest of the scriptures, maintain. Okay, so it's important that we make that distinction right there. Because action is always included in true biblical faith. Action and works of the law are not synonymous. Okay? Action is involved in true biblical faith. The picture precedes the action, but without the action, there isn't any faith. Right? Noah, okay, he got the picture. What'd he do? Built the ark, right? Abraham, he got the picture. What'd he do? He left the land, right? Abel, he offered, right? And so it was important, okay, it's necessary that action goes along with true biblical faith. First is the picture, okay, and then the resulting action. Those actions are not works of the law. They're in no way related to works of the law. Works of the law can't do anything to justify. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, we want to make sure that we're letting God define biblical faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not as a result of works. Not as a result of works, that no one can boast. What work can an individual do to save themselves? Work of the law or otherwise. You're outside of Christ. Okay? Sin has caused there to be a separation. Your sin has caused there to be a separation between you and God. What work are you going to do to be able to rectify that situation? To be able to make there be fellowship again. It's impossible to do, right? It's got to have the blood of Jesus Christ and what he prescribes as faith. What he prescribes as faith is necessary for the individual who is outside of Christ to be able to come what the scripture calls into Christ. It's pretty important that we get into Christ if we are outside of Christ and to know exactly what that biblical faith is. A biblical faith has to do with believing and acting in accordance with what God has laid out for us. Okay. Faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. All right. So belief is an action, is something that we do. See, a lot of times we think of belief as maybe being a little bit passive, but belief is something that happens inside of your mind, right? Belief is something that you decide to do. Belief is an action. Just because that action is occurring inside of your mind does not take away from the fact that it is something that you do. It's something that you think. Belief is an action. In the same way, okay, confession is an action, right? You are, as an individual, saying Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is Lord. Is that something that you do? Yeah. Nobody else said it for you, right? Nobody else acted in your accordance. You had to act. Okay? Repentance is a change in mind. Is changing your mind an action? Yeah. Is that something that you do? Absolutely. Are any of these things works of the law? No. So I want us to make that clear distinction there, that just because action is involved does not mean that works of the law are involved. It's really important that we understand that biblical distinction. So how do we know what is required for salvation? Biblical faith is required for salvation because the righteous will live by faith, the unrighteous will perish by faith. Faith is required for salvation. So how do we know what is required for salvation? Well, faith is. Well, perfect, right? Faith is. Well, what does biblical saving faith look like? How do we know what it is? Well, we know what it is from the Bible telling us so. Faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. Right? So, the communication of God to man through Jesus, through his communication, through his word, we know that belief is required. Some of this is going to be a review for us, but I think it's important to go over. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Acts 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." So we can make the conclusion then, they needed to believe to be saved. Okay. So belief is a part of biblical saving faith. They needed belief to be saved. Okay. So how do we know that belief is required? Well, the logical communication tells us so. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 2:38. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Well, repent. They're asking the question. These Jews on the day of Pentecost are asking the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The very first response that Peter says is, "Repent." There is a change in mind that takes place there. That's something that the individual does. That is an action that the individual takes inside of their mind. Repentance. Okay? So repentance then is a part of biblical saving faith. This is all within faith. It's all within the definition of saving faith. Okay. So, how do we know that repentance is required? Well, the Bible tells us so, right? Pretty deep theological stuff this afternoon. Acts chapter 8, verse 37.
Acts 8:37, and Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You combine that with Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Okay, confession is a part of biblical saving faith. This is what God defines as faith. Faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. An individual is separated from God. Okay, they need to be reconciled back to Him. We want the Scripture to maintain, or we want it to keep with what the Scripture has to say about faith. The reason why I'm spending so much time establishing this within the Assembly of the Saints is that the world has hijacked faith. Okay, the denominations have hijacked faith into meaning simple belief, as into meaning some sort of unbiblical prayer, right? None of those things are faith. But every part of God's plan of salvation is folded up into faith. We are not saved by works. We are saved by faith when we initially come to Jesus Christ. Okay? When you come to Jesus Christ as a sinner, to become a saint, you are saved by faith. Does that require the prescribed action? Yeah, absolutely. Does that have anything to do with works of the law? Zero. Zero. We are saved by faith. We, as a congregation and as a movement, have absolutely no trouble with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Right? No problem. It's what the Scripture says. Okay, so what about immersion? Is there action required? Sure, absolutely. Does that have anything to do with works of the law? Absolutely not. Acts 22, verse 16. "And now, why do you delay? Arise and be immersed and wash away your sins, calling on His name." This is connected up to what we read earlier about calling on His name. That call is done in our individual immersions into Jesus Christ. So, to have Saul's sins washed away, he needed to what? Be immersed into Christ. So that's a part of faith. Okay? It's what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. Of course, you guys know about Hebrews 11:1, and we're going to spend time there next week. But you know, if you're leery of my definition of faith, okay, you check out Hebrews 11:1 and see if it fits as we go through this progression here. Okay, so Acts 22:16 says, "Hey, arise, wash away your sins, or arise, be immersed, wash away your sins, calling upon His name." No. Okay, so biblical faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. Ah, can we see forgiveness of sins? No, that's why people can run so many fraudulent efforts, right? You can't see forgiveness of sins. That's why people can go in the little confessional, right, and say, "Hey, say 10 Hail Marys and whatever else." You know, because you can't see forgiveness of sins. But faith is, hey, God says this, therefore that's true, even though I can't see it. Well, it sure would be helpful if maybe we had a scripture that specifically connected immersion with faith, wouldn't it? Well, God knew that it was the case. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus."
Stop there for just a second. You are sons of God, children of God, right with God. Through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. So because of faith, we are sons of God, daughters of God, through Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 27. For all of you who were immersed into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So what did that faith look like? That faith looked like the culmination of getting yourself dunked in enough water to do you some good. Right? So that tells us very clearly that for a person to come to Christ, they must come in faith. Part of that faith is being immersed into Jesus Christ. That's where that faith, okay, then becomes saving faith. When the elements of belief in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension are in place, a repentance, okay, change in mind, and confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or confession that Jesus is Lord, well, then all of those things are elements of saving or initial faith. But if you have those elements without being immersed into Christ, you don't have any faith. But immersion is not a work. I'll just stop the sentence there. Okay? Immersion is not a work. Period. Just because there is action involved does not mean that it is a work. Biblically, immersion is a part of faith, period. Okay? So, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of us who have been immersed have put on Christ. That immersion is part of our faith, an integral, essential part of saving faith. Saving faith doesn't exist without immersion into Christ. So faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. It has to come from the Scriptures. We have to get the instruction from the Scriptures. So we're going to take a look at Hebrews 11:1 next week to see what that means for those of us who are in Christ. Okay? Because for those of us who are in Christ, there are there's some important things that we get about faith continuing to save, okay? And the good works that God expects from those of us who are in Christ, works of faith. Those things are really important for those of us who are in Christ, okay? But we have to establish the definitions first, okay, that faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. Faith saves us, and faith continues to save us. Faith is the victory. Let's have that victory this week. Davey?